Amen. Good morning. It's good to be found in His presence to magnify and to worship the Lord, because He is wonderful and He is good and His mercy is endured forever. Amen. It's good to see all of you, and you're looking well. The Lord bless you and the Lord be with you. Remember, you are special and you're unique, and you are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are unique in your own way. The Lord loves you and the Lord cares for you. And I know that the Lord has something special for each and every one of you this morning. This morning, I'd like to take the opportunity thanking the Elder Mike for the privilege to share the Word of God with you. And I pray that the Word of God will be a blessing to you this morning. This morning, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples to get into the boat and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he sent the multitude away, he went to the mountain by himself to pray. And when the evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Simon Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come out of the boat, he walked on the water to Jesus. And when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when he got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshipped him and saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I pray may God bless the reading of His Word this morning. You see in the story that after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus sent His disciples to the other side of the sea. And the Bible says that Jesus went to the mountain to pray. And when the disciples were in the middle of the sea, there was a furious storm. And they became stuck and they could not row and go forward. And here we find that Jesus walking on the water and coming to them. And the disciples thought it was a ghost. But Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, it is I." And you know, Simon Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, allow me to come walking on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And you know this story, that Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the waters. And when he saw the boisterous wind, he began to sink and he said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And immediately Jesus got into the boat and there was peace, and then they went to the other side. I know I've preached this sermon a few times in this church, but today I'm going to speak the disciples in the middle of the sea, the 11 disciples in the middle of the sea. And when Peter acknowledged that he was Jesus walking in the water, he said, "Lord, if it's you, allow me to come." And Jesus gave him the permission to come, and he said, "Come." But we find the other 11 disciples sitting in the boat. These disciples were robbed of walking in the miraculous, walking in the power of God. They knew that walking on the water was a God-given ability and could only be achieved by human, and could not be achieved by human achievement. And some of the reasons that prevented the disciples from walking in the miraculous is some of the things I wrote down. Is firstly, they denied the presence of Jesus. These disciples denied the presence of Jesus. The disciples simply refused to acknowledge Jesus, thinking it was a spirit. Although Jesus said, "It is I, do not be afraid." And yet, you know, Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, allow me to come to you on the water." But these other 11 disciples refused to acknowledge it was Jesus. They denied his presence. If only they knew it was him, they would all walk in the power of God. They would all walk in the supernatural power of God. But because they denied his presence, it prevented them from walking in the miraculous. So when we deny God's presence in our lives and do not acknowledge that he is there with us, we defeat his pure purpose in our lives. Like sometimes we sometimes say, you know, I'm feeling so lonely. You know, for a Christian, I know what it means, but we should never say that. Because as a Christian, he said, "I am with you even unto the ends of the age." So every time you're denying that Jesus, that nobody's with you, denying Jesus is with you. So sometimes when we're going through crisis, we feel like we're all alone. We're in the middle of this crisis and we're feeling that we're going to face this crisis all alone. And there's nobody to help us. Yes, our friends, our families may desert us. But the Bible says that God is with us in that middle of the crisis. So we must know for sure within our heart that Jesus is with us all the time. Because when we deny his presence, we deny walking in the miraculous. I learned a lesson a few years when I came to this country. I went to one of the bookstores and I was in a Christian bookstore, and this lady was having a chat with me, and I said, "You know, sometimes it's very lonely for us because being a foreigner, and you know, we're from South Africa and all these things." And the lady asked me, "Are you Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am a Christian." She said, "Why are you alone? Is Jesus not with you?" Is Jesus not with you? So Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. He's with you. He's with me. So every situation you're facing not alone. You're facing with the maker of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is with you. And this is why when David said, "When I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." So we must know his presence. These disciples refused to acknowledge it was Jesus. They denied his presence. And that is why it refused them to walk in the miraculous. So you see, their breakthrough was right there, but they refused to receive their breakthrough because they're thinking it wasn't Jesus. And sometimes God is so close there with you, and you're so close for a breakthrough, but because we deny his presence, we refuse to receive a breakthrough in our lives. God is calling the church, he's calling to you and I to know his presence, to know him. God never rejects or denies anyone from being in his presence. There is no hurt, there is no fear, there is no rejection, there's no intimidation of being in God's presence, of knowing who this God is. Yes, people may have cliques and clans, and people may have distinctions, but God has no distinction. He said, "When you draw near to me, I will draw near to you." So this 11 of them, they had this opportunity of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, of walking in the miraculous, but they denied his presence. When we acknowledge and know him in the storm, we'll walk in the supernatural. Knowing God will help us face any storm in life that we face. So no matter what storm you may be going through in this church or in your family, you are not alone. God is there with you. The second thing is the comfort zone. When these 11 disciples saw the boisterous storm and the troubled water, The boat seemed to be the most secure place at that time. So they were looking at the storm and looking at the waves, because when you find the story, Jesus was walking on stormy water. He did not calm the storm at that time. Because as I said, they saw the person seemed like a ghost. They saw the waves, the winds, and they said it seems that the boat was the most secure place. And this is why they were too comfortable to step out and to walk in the power of the supernatural. The disciples were simply looking at the facts and their surrounding. And sometimes it's like us. When God is saying something, what we're doing, we're looking at the facts and say, God, you know what, I want you to buy this house. But what we are doing, we are rationalizing, looking at the facts and saying, hey, you know what, we can't buy it because, you know, we cannot afford it. At this point, the boat brought some kind of comfort and security to them. That little comfort and security this little boat had for them. They were comfortable and satisfied and not prepared for any change or any adjustment. And when believers, when the church becomes content and satisfied, what will happen? We'll be stuck in the same place. Because the Bible says the disciples were stuck in the middle of the sea. Remember the story of the man in John chapter 5. This man, the Bible said, you're sitting at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. This man became content. He became satisfied. Because you know why he became content and satisfied? Because everything he needed was found in that place. Everything for daily living was found in that place. He was not prepared for change. He's not prepared to go forward. He's not prepared to do anything. He was stuck in that place. Because he did not want any changes to happen in his life. And as you said, he was sitting in this holy place. And when Jesus healed this man and Jesus sees him later, he said, go and sin no more. So which means, although this man was still stuck and still content, he was sinning and doing the things of the world. And God wants us to know that it's time for us to get out of the comfort zone. And start believing in the miraculous. Some of you have been stuck in a position for a long time. But it's time for us to take a step of faith and believe God that He's going to do the supernatural work in your life. Jesus is giving us the opportunity to say, come. He's saying, come, step out of the boat. Come out of your comfort zone. And believe me, I will help you. Remember when Peter stepped out of the boat, what happened? When he saw the wind, he sank. So sometimes even when we step out of the boat, when we feel like sinking, Jesus will still be able there to save you. So God wants us to come out of this comfort zone and start believing Him for the supernatural. This man was looking for the benefits and what he could get out of the place. And sitting in the comfort zone will not take us forward in our faith. It will keep us bound, restrict the power of God and the blessings of God upon your life. So it's time for us to come out and start believing Him for the supernatural. The third thing I wrote, that this was an impossible task. It was a task that beyond anyone could imagine or think. But you know, in history, there, apart from Jesus, there's only one person that walked on water, that's Peter. Do you know only one person that made history of walking on water, that's Peter? Nobody else. It was an impossible task, but yeah, one man took the step of faith to walk and do the supernatural. But these 11 disciples knew that this was an impossible task for them to achieve or to handle. They knew that if they would slip up, they will be drowned. They were not willing to take the risk of walking in the miraculous. It seemed too difficult. It seemed too dangerous. They knew that this was no ordinary task and could not be achieved in the natural. So these people were reasoning in their minds. So again, I say to you, when God is giving you a vision, when God is giving you a task, He will empower you to do the work that He has called you to do. So many times we are rationing in our minds, we are thinking in our mind, we are analyzing the things that we are going through our hearts. Remember when the Israelites had to take the city of Jericho? It seems like foolish walking around that wall for 7 days. And on the seventh day, you walk seven times. That is why the foolishness of God, what is foolish, God can take this foolishness and demonstrate His power in your life. So when God gives you a task, we have to believe in His strength and His ability. The vision that God assigned you will come to pass by His mighty power. God will empower you to achieve the purpose that He's called you. He will empower you. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the empowerment. He'll give you the energy to go forward. It may be impossible to you, but not with God. Because the Bible says nothing is impossible, God. All things are possible. All things are possible to them that believe. So what is the task that He said before? What God is saying to you as an individual person? Would you want to be like Peter, be the only person that walked on the water? Maybe you are the task He's given you. It seems so impossible. But you can achieve it with His strength and with His power and His anointing in your life. So He can give you the power, the strength to go forward. It was an impossible task. And here we find the disciples, they refused to take the opportunity of a lifetime. This challenge was too scared and fearful. And this is why they refused the challenge. They refused, they were not prepared for this challenge. Many times when God is moving, we seize the opportunity. Instead of taking a step forward and going forward, we sit back and relax and wait for another time. And today I come to tell you, do not miss your God-given opportunity. Do not miss out what God has in store for you. Every challenge or task that is set, that is embraced, God will give you the strength and the ability to go forward. So God has given you the ability. He will give you the strength and the anointing to go forward. Remember the day of Pentecost, He empowered those disciples with the power of the Holy Spirit to do the works that He has called them to do. And the same thing, He will empower the church to do what He has called the church to do. The next thing is the lack of faith. These 11 disciples did not have the faith to take this responsibility. It was beyond their measure of faith. Remember when Peter said, Lord, if it's You, allow me to come to the water. And what Jesus said, come. And here Peter stepping out of the boat and walking on the water to Jesus. And when he sees the boisterous wind and the waves, what he began to sink. You know what Jesus said to Peter? Oh, ye of little faith. Now, I want you to think something now. Yet this man has the courage to walk on the water. He said to Peter, oh, you of little faith. Imagine the 11 disciples. What faith did they have? Read the scripture again. He said, oh, you of little faith. Think about the 11 disciples sitting in the boat. These 11 disciples had a lack of faith from operating in the miraculous. Unbelief and doubt would prevent the church from operating and stepping out and doing new things for the Lord. It's only doubt and unbelief that's stopping us seeing the power of God moving in a supernatural way as never before, in and through our hearts, in our families, our children. Doubt is preventing us because we are rationalizing and stop believing in the power of the supernatural presence of God. God wants the church to approach him to pray, approach him by faith and believe him for the impossible. Where there's no faith, there is no miracles. There is no outpouring of the Spirit. There is no blessing. There is no healing. God wants us to build our faith upon the Word of God and believe that he's going to do a great work in our lives. Even the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He said, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we must have that faith in God and believe God. You know, the Bible says that Abraham had so great faith that even Romans said that he had great faith, although he did not see this. He said the reason why he sacrificed his son, you know, Isaac, on the altar, he believed God that will raise him from the dead. Imagine that kind of faith that Abraham had. He believed that God will raise his son from the dead. And that is why he sacrificed his son. And God's power is great. We must have faith and believe that God's going to do something new in your life. You must have faith to God to change your circumstance. God to change your surrounding. God to change things that you're going through in life. We must have faith and push and push and believe that God's going to do that which he purposed in our lives. God has brought you that far, not for you to give up hope. He brought you that far to press and believe and continue to believe and see God's power being manifested in your life, in this ministry, in the church, in your family, in your homes. He had brought us that far for a reason and for a purpose. So we must believe that God is going to do it no matter how difficult your situation might be. Approach God in faith. Believe him for the miraculous. God wants to remind this church that he is greater than any problem. He is greater than any difficulty. He is greater than any circumstances. He is the greatest. So when you approach God, you must say, God, I come to you by faith, believing in my heart that you're going to do something new in your life. That is why sometimes when we pray, we must just not just pray because it's a custom or routine. You must pray because of a relationship with God. Pray by faith. And say, God, I want you to do that which you purpose in my life. We stop seeing miracles. We stop seeing the things of God. But the Holy Spirit wants us to do something great. In fact, I'll give you a testimony. In fact, I had to write an essay about 50 pages, and I failed by one mark. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I want you to do a miracle, and I don't want to do this thing again. Please, can you change the mark? And it seemed seemed laughing because I'm telling you the truth. And then Yoshni came the next day and I had it and I told her the same thing and we prayed. And this man wrote a one whole page and said why he failed me. You know, one whole page. But the next morning I woke up, he changed that one mark. And he wrote and took everything why I failed. But you see, I knew I could pray. I can ask God for his help. That's what I'm trying to say to you. See, we think because we failed, that's it. But we don't know we got the help of God, the Holy Spirit. God can help you. God can help you. But when we approach him, we must approach him by faith and believe. Start believing him for that miracle in your life. Start believing him for the miracle in your life. Because God wants to remind you, he is the greatest. Nothing is too hard with him. So when you approach God, you'll say, God, I believe you by faith that you're going to do this. And sometimes he may not do every time the same thing. But he works in ways we cannot fully imagine or think. But you just have to believe him by faith. And the next thing we see, the disciples, they lacked the courage. They did not have the boldness and the courage to step out into new opportunities. And sometimes we are like that. We become too satisfied with what we got. There is new opportunities every day. Because the Bible says His mercies are new every day. His favor is new every day. And even God wants to do something new every day in our lives. Fear prevented these 11 disciples from walking in the water. They knew that if something went wrong, they would lose their lives. Fear bounded and restricted the disciples. They did not have the courage because they were too scared to step out and try new things. God desires that we become bold and courageous to step out in the miraculous. Remember when God commissioned Joshua, He said, "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Fear will cripple you, will bind you and keep you in bondage. Fear will make you walk away from the impossible. But with the boldness and with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can achieve great things. Fear will keep you bound, but boldness and courage in God will liberate us and set us free. The next thing these disciples had is the lack of trust. You know, they were not willing to trust Jesus even when He said, "It is I." They did not trust in Him. Jesus said, when they were walking in the water, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, it is I." At that time, they could not trust Jesus because they did not recognize it was Him. And due to the lack of trust, they refused to embrace the opportunity to walk in the miraculous. You cannot rely upon someone if you do not trust that person. And yet these people, these disciples, thought it was a ghost. "I'm not going to trust a ghost." So they had the lack of trust. And that is why it prevented them from walking in the supernatural. And sometimes a lot of believers are trusting in man rather than Almighty God. Instead of looking for God, they're looking for man. And today we make the same mistake. Rather than trusting God, we focus on man. We're looking for man, running after man, seeking man, wanting the approval of man rather than Almighty God. And when we learn to trust in God, He will surely deliver us and help us. God will help you if you put your trust in Him. Just say, "Lord, I trust in You. I know that this is a difficult storm that I'm going through, but please help me to trust in You. It seems hard to trust in You in this situation, but Lord, I'd laid the situation at Your feet. Please help me. Please guide me. Please direct my path and direct my footsteps." So we must have the trust in Him that God is going to be there for you no matter what He promised in Your word. We must trust Him no matter what, even if we do not understand the details. Even that the task seems impossible, we must trust in Him. We must take Him at His word. When God gave Mary that impossible task, Mary said, "Lord, let it be unto me according to Your word." She put her trust in God. And today we must put our trust in God and say, "God, that I know that it is an impossible situation. I'm having a rough time. I'm seem like a middle of the storm, but I trust in You. I trust in You. I put my trust in You." The next thing, it was a lack of sight. The lack of sight. We find that when Jesus in John's Gospel, the Bible said that while you were still dark, Jesus had not yet come to them. So the night was dark. They were in the middle of the sea. It was the wind, the boisterous, and so that they could not have clear vision. So they did not have clear vision because it was a dark night. Darkness invaded that surrounding and they could not see properly. And they were afraid to step out in the unknown because they could not see. They did not have clear vision. And although they could see Jesus walking the water, they could not believe what they were seeing. Because as I said, they thought it was a ghost. They were not willing to pass to come and believe the word of Jesus. They were not willing to take the risk and say, God, I believe in you, because they were not able to see clearly. Having clear vision will allow us to see further than our natural eyes can see. It takes the unseen visible, and it makes the unseen visible and the unknown possible. The vision of your future is far more important than what you're going through at this moment. May God open our eyes and that we may have clear vision to see what God has called us to see. Even with the storm, even with the darkness, even the boisterous wind, we must have that clear vision and say, God, I see that vision. You know, Jesus, in the midst of his last week upon the face of the earth, even through the crucifixion, he had clear vision that the cross was his path. Even through the beating, even through the scourging, he had that vision. So even through the difficult times, even we can see, we can have that clear vision that on the third day I'm going to be resurrected, that the third day that something supernatural is going to happen. He had that vision. Because not having clear insight and vision will restrict us from walking in the miraculous. I think so in the Old Testament, one of the scriptures say, without the vision, the people perish. So have a vision for your family. Have a vision for what God has purposed in your life. Have a vision for the church. Stir up the vision that God has called. Don't put it down. It could have been 1 or 2 days or 4 days or 40 years or 4 months or 4 years. Believe God that he's going to fulfill that vision in your life. So you have to see clearly that the Holy Spirit wants us to go. And he'll show the church, he'll show you that this is the vision for the church, and this is the vision for my family, this is the vision for you as an individual person. So God, may God open our eyes, open our spiritual eyes, and remove the darkness and remove the things that will distract us from seeing what God wants us to see. So may God open our eyes. The next thing is, they limited the power of Jesus. They limited the power of God. They doubted the presence of Jesus, which they restricted them walking the miraculous. They could have heard, these disciples could have heard how God opened the Red Sea and allowed the Israelites to walk on the dry land. But this was a different situation altogether. They limited and lacked the power of God by allowing the storm to control them. These disciples were allowing the circumstances to control them rather than them controlling the circumstances. And that is why a lot of our believers today are getting defeated, because we are allowing the system of the world to control us rather than God, the Holy Spirit, controlling us. And that is why we limit and we lack the power of God. And that is why we're not seeing breakthrough, we're not seeing healing, we're not seeing prosperity, we're not seeing deliverance, because we're too accustomed of how the world operates, and that's how we are operating, rather than what the Word of God is trying to say to us as individual person. So the Holy Spirit must work in our hearts. These disciples limited and lacked the power of God by allowing the storm to control them. They limited the power of God for what can be achieved in the natural, because they knew that this was beyond the natural. They limited the power of God. And sometimes we put limitations on God, what he can do and what he can't do. Like, look at the tests. And that is the first thing I said, Lord, please help me. Have mercy. Because I don't want to do that whole thing again. But you see, the Lord is merciful. Sometimes we put limitation. That is why we're not seeing the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, in Psalms 78 verse 41 says, yes, he's talking about the Israelites, yes, again and again they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. And sometimes we must break the spirit of limitations over lives by the way we speak, the way we think, changing our mentality and allowing ourselves to the Word of God. Do not look what you're going through at the difficulties, the problems, the hardship, the storms. Look to God. He is the God of increase. He is the God of multiplication. He is a God of addition. He is a God of no limits. So don't ever limit God's power in your life. We, like the 11, as I said, there's only one person walked on the water. Peter, apart from Jesus. Let's not stop limiting God's power in your life. And the last one I wrote was, the storm distracted these 11 disciples of walking in the miraculous. Although they seen Jesus walking in the water, the storm was visible. The problem had not gone away. The surrounding was still fearful and dangerous. So what they could see with the natural eye, they refused to embrace the opportunity to walk in the supernatural. The storm prevented them from walking in the waters. These disciples were too focused and distracted on the storm and did not take the opportunity to walk on the water. The only desire was to get out of the storm by reaching out to the other side. And some of us allowed the storms to dominate our lives, which have restricted us from looking to God. Instead of focusing on God, we are focusing on the issues. We are focusing on the problems. The storms of life has robbed us from spending time with God. No matter what issues you are facing, don't let it divert you from God. Don't let it rob you from walking where God has called you to walk. He has called you. He has called you. He has called you to step out and start walking in the miraculous, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. So don't allow problems to divert you from what you believe in God and God's Word. The storm distracted these people. And just like God wants us to do a new work in our lives, He will help you. You know, only the Bible says in the story, it's only when Jesus entered the boat with the disciples, then the storm ceased, and then they went to the other side. But God is wanting to remind the church today, in the midst of the storm that you're going through, I am with you. I am with you. Whatever you're going through, He's saying, I am with you. And to walk in the miraculous, we must acknowledge that Jesus is with us all the time. We must step out of the comfort zone, accept new challenges and the impossible tasks with faith, with courage, with trust, with vision in God and without any distraction. And I believe that God wants us to walk where you've never walked before. Many of us are walking the same road all the time. But He's giving us a choice today. I want you to step out. It is a difficult choice. Walk where you never walked before. And this is what He said to Joshua. Every foot your foot shall tread, I have given you the land. So what we are doing, we're only treading what God has given us. Do you know that? We're only treading where God has given us. So He's saying to you, if you want to walk, walk new places. I will give you that land. I will give it to you. Start believing God for new things in your life. Accept new challenges. Accept the impossible tasks. And and believe God is going to do a new work in this ministry. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful and you are true. And thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you that your word is alive. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your strength and for your comfort and for your courage. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, even as a church, myself. Lord, that where we stop walking in the power of the supernatural and walking in the miraculous, Lord, we pray that even today, Father, that you'll do a complete new work in our hearts, O God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that every storm, that even whatever your people are facing, Lord, I thank you that you want to remind them that this morning that you are with them. You'll never leave them, nor would you forsake them. And Lord, that you are with them even unto the ends of the age, O God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that even the task, even the challenges, even the vision that you've given to this church and to the people, Lord, we pray, Lord, it shall be fulfilled, O God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray, Lord, just like Peter, Lord, give us the step of faith to believe you for the supernatural, Lord Jesus. We pray that even the task may be impossible, but you'll empower us even to walk in impossible situations, O God. And Lord, we pray that every foot shall tread, you've given us the land. Lord, we pray that even as Jabez prayed, he said, Lord, we want you to bless us and bless us indeed. Enlarge in our territory, O God. Lord, we pray that you place your hand upon us and let no evil befall us, O God. And today we pray that you'll enlarge in our vision, enlarge in our territory, enlarge in our faith, O God, even to step out of the boat and start walking in the supernatural places that we have not gone before, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus and experiencing you as never before. Heavenly Father, we pray that you remove the doubt, the unbelief. Lord, we pray, Lord, even shortness of sight, O God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that even distraction, we pray that you remove these things, O God. And I pray that the Spirit of God and the power of God, the Holy Spirit, will begin to operate in the church and operate in our hearts, O God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we pray, Father God, that your glory and your presence and your power will be manifested, O God. We pray that you'll revive us, O God, and I pray that you'll give us the strength even to step out and to walk upon the waters just like Jesus. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that even today that you'll give us the strength, Lord Jesus, even sometimes where there's fear, Lord Jesus, where there's doubt and where there's unbelief, O God, remove it from our hearts, O God. Let us believe you today. Let us believe you today, Lord Jesus. Let us take you by your word and run with your word, O God. Run with your word, Lord Jesus. We pray that even today that the storms may be facing, it could be sickness, could be finances, could be, Lord, I pray the problems in their homes, in their families and children, Lord. But I pray today, Father, that you bring deliverance, Lord Jesus, that you bring restoration, and we'll step out and we believe you, Lord Jesus. Nothing is impossible with you, Lord Jesus, that you'll give them breakthrough, Lord Jesus, that even when we pray, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, we pray that we believe that there'll be changes, oh God, in this ministry, changes in this place, oh God. We pray that there'll be an overflow, there'll be an increase, and there'll be multiplication, and we pray for the glory and the presence of God even to be manifested in the name of Jesus. Father, do bless this ministry and bless your people today. Lord, we pray that today, Father, that you lift up the burdens from the people today. Lift up the heaviness of God. Lift up the Lord God, everything that is bringing them down and weighing them down. And I pray for your strength and your power, your joy upon them, and bless this ministry, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.